Nation. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Pete Hegseth. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us here at Education Nation. I am your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's always so much fun to join you on Saturday mornings. And today I have a very special guest fill-in for my co-host, Pete Hegseth, who is in New York doing some extra work for Fox News. And her name is Lisa Zufall.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
How are you?
I am good. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. And Lisa actually has been a guest on our show not too many weeks back.
Right.
I don't even remember what our topic was. You don't remember either.
School boards.
There we go. Yeah. But this morning, we're going to raise some awareness on a different issue that also needs to be highlighted. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's taken many Minnesota school students and their families by surprise. Minnesota school surveys might conjure up thoughts of schools that are merely gathering information about teacher performance or quality of the classroom material, but the type of information that our schools are receiving from their students is actually much deeper than what you may initially think. And we're going to be talking about that today, and Lisa has done quite a bit of research on this herself and actually would be the expert beyond me, and so I'm going to be asking her a lot of questions today. But before we dive into the specifics, let's start with some of the history of the Minnesota Student Surveys and what it is and what their objectives are. So I'm going to just maybe launch into that quickly before I start asking you some questions.
That's
there,
perfect.
Lisa, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So the Minnesota Student Survey, it's an anonymous statewide school-based survey, and it's conducted to gain insights into the world of students and their experiences. Experiences such as the activities of students, their opinions, and their behaviors. Why do our schools want to know this, Lisa?
It's called behavior modification.
Yes. It's something I don't like to hear, not from the schools. But we found out that it is a triennial survey and that it was started back in 1989 and that it's one of the longest running youth surveys that are in the nation. And it's administered to students in 5th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, and 11th grade. And it's public and charter schools. The Bureau of Indian Education and Tribal Schools take it, and non-public schools sometimes take it as well, and even in alternative learning centers and things like that. So this is a very broad survey. I believe they said 85.5% of school districts actually participated in this survey back in 2016. I'm presuming that was probably last spring. So this is a lot of our students that are taking this particular survey. And what would you say about that, and why do they think it's important, and what would be some of your concerns about it, Lisa?
My biggest concern is knowing that this is going on in my school, that they are gathering information that is really non-education questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is, like, we have some sample questions here. I'll just read a few of them off so you guys get an idea of what some of the questions your kids will be answering in school. But before I say that, I should note that right now it is passive parental consent. And what that means is you already agree to allow your child to take any survey at school unless you write in or say something specifically to that fact.
Really? Now, we're going to be talking about some legislation at the end of the show.
Yes.
That is supposed to at least usurp that for surveys, isn't it?
Yes. But okay. they're having a fight in Lakeville.
Okay. That's very concerning, though, when you say that you are actually turning over your child to the school district. Is that what you're saying by passive Say that word again.
Passive consent.
Passive consent. So by simply not doing anything, you are basically consenting to
exactly.
let the school district do
exactly.
what they would like to do in terms of surveys or testing
exactly.
or what have you.
Which opens up another can of worms that I'm sure you'll want to do another
yeah.
show.
Yeah, that is for sure. I did not know this information today. So that is concerning.
So, you know, for all the listeners out there, let me ask you this question. During the past 30 days, on how many days did you carry a weapon such as a gun, knife, or club on school property?
Oh,
is that something that is appropriate to ask a child in a health study?
No. So this is a particular, this survey that you're reading from is a health survey.
This is the MSS health survey.
Oh, my goodness. So there's multiple surveys that are part of the MSS, sounds
yes.
like.
Well, there are. There is the massive one,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
That is how many pages?
Yeah,
69,
like,
70 pages
yes.
long. It takes mm-hmm. about 2 hours for the kids to complete. Mm-hmm. Not a waste of time whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
but let me ask you this. So question number 39 is, how tall are you? Doesn't the school nurse already know that?
Yeah,
why am I filling it out on a piece of paper?
Yeah, kind of a waste of their time, isn't it?
How about how much weight do you weigh? I cringe when I go to the DMV and
right.
have to fill that out.
Right.
So for our kids having to do that, why?
Right. Well, let me tell you something. I'm gonna note some information that I found in some of my research as well.
Love it.
And that is that they actually figure out body mass index. So I'm sure that's one of the reasons why they're asking those questions. And I'm thinking, what business is it of the school district to know what my child's body mass index is?
Right.
And they ask questions about, like, how many fruits and vegetables do you eat in a day? And, you know, asking about how they're feeling about their future. And it just seems to me that these are really invasive questions. And you wonder, what are they doing with this information? What is the point? Why would we take our children's precious learning time from their classroom to fill out these surveys? And then what are they doing with all this information, Lisa?
Right, exactly. And nobody really knows. There's speculation. And
okay.
so I shall speculate.
Okay.
This is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say this is because the more research that you do on this and the it's called follow the money,
mm-hmm.
right? You
okay.
figure out who's funding what and what's happening there.
Okay.
And if you have any idea of what's going on in tech, it's all about the data.
Yes.
It's about the data points. It's about the people.
Whole shows on, yes.
So when you get into these companies who are providing this technical assistance that may or may not be connected to the Department of Education, mm-hmm. they are fully funded by different organizations, different
okay.
corporations.
Okay.
What are they doing with that? They are setting up different reports
mm-hmm.
to share with the school districts,
okay.
to share with the Department of Education. Above and beyond that,
you don't really know.
I don't really
and
know.
And what are these companies? You mentioned, did you say companies or corporations?
Companies,
that are
corporations,
interested
international.
In this information
yes.
that would come from these surveys from these students.
Here's a quick list.
Okay.
General
these
Mills.
These are local ones.
Yep. The General Mills Foundation, the National Institute on Media and the Family, McKnight Foundation, Trillium and Minneapolis Foundation, Cargill, Minneapolis Foundation, Curtis Carlson Family Foundation, Sawyer Children's Renew Foundation, 3M, Best Buy, Thrivent.
And all these companies are helping fund the cost of running the survey, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, the health survey, the Minnesota Health Survey.
And it all goes back to SLEDS, which is, you want to say it for me?
Mm-hmm.
The state
longitudinal
educational.
You say it.
Data. It's a mouthful. It really
yes,
is. So we'll just
is.
Call it SLEDS.
Yes. Yes. Data system.
Yes.
There we go. Let's say it again
awesome.
For our listeners. SLEDS stands for.
You don't want to say it?
No, you
want me to say
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm waiting for you again. We're not doing a very good job of informing
state
our listeners.
State longitudinal. Education data system.
Okay, there we go. That is a big mouthful.
Wow.
Not easy to remember either.
So the only thing that I want to point out is what they say on SLEDS about what they do with this data.
Mm-hmm.
So this is directly from SLEDS.
Okay.
So one of their proposed projects, okay, this is a bulleted point list, but one of them on there is to initiate and coordinate local SLEDS data analysis activities in partnership with the state, schools, districts, colleges, and communities, including providing tools and expertise necessary for planning and program evaluation. It also goes on to state that they will work with the community to improve education and workforce policy, helping to create a more seamless education and workforce system for all Minnesotans.
Could it come back down to that again? Workforce development.
No.
Why does it seem like everything at the state with respect to education always seems to come back down to workforce development and a planned economy? It seems that there is always that effort to try to determine what kids are going to do, what jobs they're going to be in. And with no respect necessarily for what the child necessarily wants, right? If we're going to research and find out what their interests are and then plan and try to place them into certain types of careers, is that what part of this is about?
Well, it's a lot easier when you can track. In other words, put the children on specific tracks and get them to where they need to be.
And, you know, if you're listening to us today, one of the things that I want to remind you of is that there is significant question about the privacy of this information because all of these surveys tend to be done online rather than by paper and pencil.
Yeah, they just switched that. Yep.
And, you know, we want to believe that the data is private. But we know that there are significant issues with breaches of data privacy. Also, I think I've talked about this on the show in the past, that the FERPA rules, which are supposed to guard student data in the internet, are actually being broken fairly regularly by some of the organizations such as Pearson and some of these other companies, these education companies that are looking for student data so that they can, in the name of personalized learning, they can make their their program better.
Yes.
They can sell more programs. So we can't assume that these surveys that the students are doing is remaining in sequestered hands. So, all right, we're going
to
come back after the break
lots
here in a few minutes. Yes, we are. There is so much to talk about here. But we're going to take a little bit of a break here. And when we come back, I'm going to have more of Lisa Zufall, who has really researched this and in great depth. And I thank you for being here with us, Lisa. And we'll be back after the break.
Thanks.
We don't need no education.
Welcome back to Education Nation. I am your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and I'm joined by my special guest, Lisa Zufall.
Hello.
Hello again. This morning, we briefly touched on what the Minnesota Standards Survey is and why it's deemed important. They think that they are collecting important information for, I suppose, health purposes and what have you. But I want to spend the rest of our time this morning highlighting some of the invasive nature of the surveys and how they can really pose a danger to your kids. And end on a positive note, because there is actually some recent legislation, and we're going to talk about that in the third segment, that will provide a means of escape. And, you know, we did actually touch on a couple little questions at the very in the first segment, but we didn't dig in as much as I'd like to. And, you know, before we do that, I want to just remind our listeners that some of these questions or surveys are extremely long. And the 2013 MS results package was 61 pages long and had 336 questions on it for grades 9 and 11. Mm-hmm. So this is not just a light little survey that the kids are taking 10 minutes to accomplish. So talk about some of the invasive questions, Lisa, that you've found as you've been doing your research.
Well, the ones that just kind of caught me off guard as I was reading this, because, you know, we're kind of used to the during the last 7 days, how many times did you drink fruit juice, eat fruit, eat a green salad or potatoes, carrots or vegetables, right? Mm-hmm. So that's
all parent. These are things that the parents should be thinking about, not the school district once again.
Well, we want to, as well, Arnie Duncan believes that there's we should be taking care of all the children because the children belong to the state. Mm-hmm.
Arnie Duncan being the previous federal Department of Education or Secretary of Education, who was just recently replaced by John King.
Love it.
And now with our new election, we may have a new one yet again. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the ones that I highlighted were the ones that just made me go, why is that even in here?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I can deal with salads and vegetables, but why are these in here?
Right.
How often do you wear a seatbelt when you ride in the front seat of a car?
Once again, we hope they do, but again, that's a parent's responsibility, not the school's.
And how often, let's see, during the last 12 months, how many times did you use an indoor tanning device, such as a sun lamp, sun bed, or a tanning booth?
Gosh.
I mean, really, tell us. We need to know.
What does that have to do with anything?
And this one is a feeling one. And a lot of these questions, as I was going through it, felt very subjective. In other words, it depends on their emotional state of the day. Did they fight with somebody, you know, right before that? Are they tired?
And these are teenagers after all. Fifth grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 11th grade.
So when they're gathering these survey results from these children, what, I mean, how are they feeling during that day? It's very subjective, like this one. How much do you feel your parents care about you? Not at all, a little, some, quite a bit, or very much?
Huh.
How do you feel about other adult relatives care about you?
Wait a minute. Why? Again, why do they want to know this? These are not questions I would want asked of my children at school. What are they going to do with this information? I keep going back to that. What is happening with this information? How is that relevant to anything having to do with their education, even from the standpoint of workforce development? What does that have to do with workforce development?
Do you want me to read the Arnie quote?
Sure. Yes. And granted, this must be from, 2013? Do you have, I don't know if you have a date on that.
I don't have a date on it, but it is posted on the
Department of Education website?
No, the PBIS website,
okay.
Which is an offshoot of the Department of Education.
Okay. All right.
That does most of the surveys that come through. Mm-hmm. So Arnie Duncan, I quote, says, PBIS is a systems approach to establishing the social culture needed for schools to achieve social and academic gains while minimizing problem behavior for all children.
This sounds like social emotional learning to me.
A little bit.
Anti-bullying
a little
type
bit.
Of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, once again, and we've talked about this a lot, that the whole focus of education has really shifted over the course of the last 100 or so years.
Right.
And most exponentially in the last 25 years, and even more exponentially than that in the last 8 to 10 years.
Right.
And so what we are seeing then is that they're caring about social issues, right? That's really what he's saying, versus the academic nature of the classroom. No wonder we see our test scores continuing to go down. If this is the focus of the Federal Department of Education and the State Department of Education, then how in the world can we expect the learning to be improving from an academic standpoint? We're not. This explains a lot of it. If they're spending so much time worrying about these issues.
The focus is more on behavior.
Yeah. And shaping the culture rather than
behavior and the culture than teaching children how to think. Mm-hmm. Because once you teach somebody how to think for themselves, suddenly they have questions.
Yes. Yes, which is maybe explains why I constantly bring up this question of why, when we know a classical education like what we do at Liberty works so well and used to be the norm for education for centuries, why wouldn't we do what we know works? But when I hear this type of thing that is the content of the surveys and the goal of the secretary or the just most recent secretary of education, then why should I be surprised, I guess? Their goal really isn't for these kids to become thinking, deep thinking, analytical adults. Their goal is what? Social agenda? Culture change?
Yes.
Is that really what's at the core of this? And I have to say, I think I agree with you that I really think
that
is at the core.
I actually have video, and maybe we do another show where we play some of that video where they say what it's really about.
Yeah. That is very concerning. That can be, show number two on the surveys. Or goals of the Federal Department of Education.
But it's very sad because, you know, we're sending our kids to these schools and they have wonderful teachers. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt the teachers at all in their love for these kids and the reason why they went into their service in the first place.
Right.
And they've just kind of fallen into this world where some of them, I mean, if you know any teachers, some of them are looking around going, I don't even get it anymore.
Right, right.
This doesn't make sense.
What's happened? I've heard a lot of teachers tell me that they loved their job when they started 20 years ago, but it's changed so much that they are just waiting to retire.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about a little bit more about some of these questions.
Okay.
Because I know there are more invasive questions than what we were just sharing, such as they're asking questions of the 9th and 11th graders about their sexuality.
Well, yes,
and
they are.
So why don't you share some of that?
In the school climate survey, and some of you may have heard about this, there was a big to-do a few years ago when a school was busted giving out the survey. But for the middle and high school folks, they asked, which of the following best describes you? Heterosexual, straight, in parentheses, in case you didn't know, gay or lesbian, bisexual, or I prefer not to answer.
Hmm. So once again, we have the state normalizing these things through the survey. Because what does that say to a child that's taking that survey?
What are these things?
That says, exactly. They're asking, what
and
are
maybe,
these things?
Should I and be something
in,
else?
And in today's culture, I'm sure they know what those things are because it's surrounding us. But it implies that all of these things are normal types of sexual orientation. And when you get into the whole religious freedom element of our culture, there are faiths, not just Christianity, by the way,
right,
who do not see those sexual identities or those types of lifestyles as being healthy lifestyles. And
right,
so the presumption in the survey is that they're normal, they're just one of any, just check the box, whichever one you are, just check the box. And why do they want to know, again, why
right
do they want to know this information?
Exactly. But even if you put that aside, the religious aspect of it and mm-hmm beliefs, mm-hmm, what is the school doing asking that? That is a parent's role.
Right.
I mean, and I won't demean any of those lifestyle choices, mm-hmm, but it's not up to the school or anybody else to data mine that on a
right
child.
Right.
That is not okay.
Right.
That is up to a
yep
parent.
Yep.
To work with their child and help mm-hmm them and love them through mm-hmm that, not a school to put it in a data point.
Right. And we know from this research that they ask questions about students' sexual experience. So not just how they identify, but what type of sexual experiences they've had. They want to know about their religious activity. Why would they want to know about a child's religious activity? They want to know about the student's drug use or what kind of language mom and dad use
right
in the home.
Right.
So again, now we're invading into the home directly
right
and asking those kinds of questions. I find this just really, really mind-boggling. And supposedly the surveys are voluntary and anonymous. However, mm-hmm, if a student is being presented with, this is what we're doing now in school, students, we're taking this survey, how many students are going to say, wait, I don't want to do this? I would venture to guess very few of them are going to have the guts to say, I don't want to do this. And the anonymity piece, well, like I said in the first segment of this show,
right,
we know that is in doubt because of the number of breaches in the privacy of student data that we've
right
seen across the country and even right here in the state of Minnesota.
And there's really two things to that, right? If you as a parent are unaware of these surveys that are happening in your school and you do not have that conversation with your child, letting them know, hey, you don't have to fill it out. If the teacher puts it in front of you, give it back to them and say, no, I cannot take this test or I do not want to take this survey or however they pose it to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If parents don't know about it, though, they can't communicate it to their children and they
right
can't communicate it to the school. So they are already doing their, what is that? What did we call it? That passive,
mm-hmm,
how do they label
yes
it? Passive parental consent.
There you go. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm
if the parents don't know about it, they're not talking to their children. The children are going in there thinking, this is an adult. And they're telling me that this is the survey. Everybody around me is taking it. It must be okay.
Yes.
Therefore, I'm going to take the survey because
right
I don't want to feel
right
weird or left out. And my parents never said anything. Must
right
be fine.
Right, right. And I think as a parent, I think everybody who's listening to this show can probably identify with the fact that they want to know what's happening in their child's education.
Yes.
They don't want to be in the dark about these things.
Right.
And it seems common sense, and it seems that you shouldn't even have to tell them that we want to have permission. But that's the reality. So when we return, we're going to finish today's show on some wonderful legislation that's actually equipping the parents of our students this school year, this just passed last spring, to be more involved in directing their kids' steps when it comes to Minnesota Standards surveys.
Yes.
So come back or join us back when we get back after this break.
We don't need no thought control.
Well, welcome back to Education Nation. I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and today we are talking about the Minnesota Student Survey. And we wanted to end on a positive note, but before we do that, Lisa, during the break, we got talking about something that I really wanted to make sure that our listeners heard. So if you could share that, that would be great.
Well, as we're going through these survey questions, it's important to know that these children are given these surveys, right? And because the survey questions, they don't provide any context for these kids. So the lack of context fails to address whether the questioned behavior on the survey is good or bad. Mm-hmm. So example, a fifth grade student is asked if he ever considered running away from home. So the concern is, does the student question if running away from home is good or bad?
Right.
The student may struggle with the answer, given the question gives no context as to why that is bad.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really ties into what we mentioned in the second segment where they asked about sexual identity and sexual behavior,
drug use.
None of them have any context around them, which implies that it really is okay if you're doing these things. We don't think it's necessarily bad. We just want to know. And I just think it feeds into our whole postmodern mindset that says there really is no right or wrong.
Right.
It's just a matter of preference.
Right.
And these kids then, you know, we talk about the fact that the schools shape the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder how they do that. Well, this is one way that they do that, by giving them, you know, 61-page surveys with no context, asking all kinds of behavioral questions.
Exactly. Tell me all about your family.
Yeah.
Tell me everything that you do. How many salads did you eat last week?
Well,
because that's important.
Right. I mean, one of the questions is how much do you feel your parents care about you?
Right.
You know, again,
and if I'm grounded, I'm marking that question.
Exactly. You might have Child Protective Services at your door. All right. Well, let's end on a positive note, like we promised we would. We are going to very quickly just talk about the fact that there was a notification and opt-out law last spring. We have literally 1 minute to talk about this, Lisa. Can you quickly tell us what the parents need to know?
To opt out, you need to write in that you do not want your child to, you have to put it in writing, you do not want your child to do any surveys, complete any surveys whatsoever. And the reason why you need to do that is because the passive consent.
Mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
applied if you do not.
Mm-hmm. And the districts, according to this new legislation, the districts are supposed to notify parents ahead of time before these surveys are given. They're supposed to notify parents after making any meaningful changes to the surveys. And they are also supposed to be notified if the district has an exact or approximate date for the survey. So again, parents, we really want you to be alerted to the fact that you need to be aware of this and check out our education Facebook page for more links to learn more about this topic. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.